Sometimes you just can't compete. You got to give up and go for another day. All right. Today we celebrate the dedication of our Lord. Okay. This is a day that was prescribed by the Torah, by the law, the Old Testament law, that every firstborn child should be given to the Lord, and you go to the temple and make a sacrifice, and you dedicate your child to the Lord. And Jesus, his parents kept the law. And so we commemorate this 40 days after Christmas, okay? And so that's what these readings are for today. And these are the given texts that we've had so far. And the epistle lesson, which is appointed for this dedication of our Lord, or presentation of our Lord's service, is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. You can find it on page 1002 in your pew Bibles. So I'll give you a second to look that up. Page 1002, starting with verse 14 of chapter 2. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those through fear of death who were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, this past week, well, starting really right after church last Sunday, I became aware, as many of you did, of the death of Kobe Bryant and the others that were part of that helicopter crash. And on social media, and I'm on Twitter and, you know, those sorts of things. And most of who I follow are either athletes or lovers of sports. And so when, after church, I saw all these tweets about what had gone on and, the sadness and the reaction to this tragedy. And one of the tweets said, God bless, Kobe's family and all those who died in this tragic accident. And then the reply was, why would you believe in a God who would allow something like this to happen? Well, that started. You can imagine if you're on social media, everybody loves to argue, and they say, people have courage to say things they would never say face to face in these things, and it got bad on both sides. And I realized, what death does to us and the reaction that it gets. And so I immediately thought, next Sunday I want to talk about how to deal with death. So when I got in on Tuesday morning, that's when I, take a look at the lectionary, find out what the texts are. I had already determined I'm probably going to talk about death. And I know it's the dedication of our Lord Sunday, and I couldn't remember what the typical texts were for that. And I thought, it's probably not going to, fit real well with what I'm planning on preaching on. So I was going to make an exception in this case and preach, you know, about death instead of the dedication of our Lord. And then I read the text that were appropriate for this Sunday. And there that Hebrews text was staring me in the face about Jesus dying to defeat the power of death. That was confirmation for me that this is what I needed to talk about, is how we deal with death. Typically, the way people deal with it is first and foremost through denial. We want to pretend that it doesn't happen or that it's not going to happen to us. And the younger you are, the more in denial you probably are. Young people don't think about death at all, and it's certainly not going to happen to them. Death is just meant for old folks. Not true. Young people need to be told that they're going to die. Josh, Brenna, you're going to die. Allie, you're going to die. Emmeline, you're going to die. And we all know what happens after that, don't we? They're going to drop you in a hole. What are they going to do? They're going to throw dirt in your face, and then they're going to go back to the church and eat potato salad. That's exactly what they're going to do. That is what it is. In a few weeks, you're forgotten about. Man, that's reality. We need to understand that that's going to happen to all of us. It's real. And we cannot live in denial of it. God does not want us to live in denial of it. Now, the other way that we typically respond to it is through fear. And denial, the reason that we deny it is because of fear, but people take it the other way. Instead of pushing it away from them, they do everything that they can to make sure that it never happens to them. And so they live these prophylactic lives where they're, you know, they don't go anywhere without an umbrella and a parachute, you know. They eat all the right foods. They do everything right. You know, they make sure that they're, you know, never exposed to any toxins. They're constantly worried about death. God doesn't want us there either. Probably the worst way of dealing with it, though, in my opinion, is what I would call the true atheist way of dealing with death. And that's this: that death is just a natural part of life. There is nothing natural about death. It is not what God intended when He created us. It is unnatural. It is a ripping of our flesh from our soul. We are a living nephesh in the Hebrew, a living soul with body and spirit. We are one. And to die is the ripping of the flesh away from the soul. It's the furthest thing from natural. But that is a way that, you know, the true atheist can conceive of death, that it's just a part of nature. You see, the people like the person that texted, "I would never believe in a God who does such a thing," that person's not an atheist. He's angry at God. But you can't be angry at something that doesn't exist. Now, those people are not atheists. They don't understand God and they're angry at Him. Because they ascribe something that really sin is responsible for to God. And that's death. Because the reality is this: sin is the reason that we have death. Once sin came into the world, we died. And God told us that. In the moment that you eat of it, you will die. And you think, well, you know, they didn't die for like 800 or 900 more years. No, they died that day, spiritually. And their flesh followed. It started dying right on their bones that day. But they were dead spiritually the moment that they failed to trust God. And all of their children followed suit. Every one of us was born in a situation where we were spiritually dead. And we were not made spiritually alive until we came to faith in Christ Jesus. Now, however that happened to you, you know, some maybe later in life, maybe some as infants like me. I've never not known God. I was born into the Roman Catholic Church and baptized into the Catholic Church, just like Kobe, who I was so happy to hear had been to Mass that morning, received communion that morning. I've never known what life without God is like. But some don't come to faith until later on. But the moment that you came to faith, you were given new life. Your spirit, your soul was made alive in Christ Jesus. But those who never come to faith, they live with a dead soul, a dead spirit. And they live in a dying flesh. Jesus came to set us free from both of them. Okay? And the moment that we believe in his death and resurrection for our sins, we are brought to new spiritual life. Now, we are still gonna die in the flesh. And that flesh is still weak and still sinful. But we live this life, you know, of saint and sinner until we die. The how of all this. How did God do this? How did Jesus set us free? Goes like this, according to the ancient historical Christian church. When Jesus, who was perfect and without sin, the only person, the only human being that was ever born with a live spirit, the only person ever born like that and continued in his life without sin, went to the cross on our behalf, and on that cross, he became sin for us. And the scriptures say that in his flesh, in his body, he absorbed all sin of all people. I find it very interesting when you look at the words of Jesus on the cross, what his first and last words were. His first words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His last words, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Both times acknowledging the relationship that he has with his Father. But in between, all other words, they don't have that. And the ancient historical Christian church has always said that what Jesus did, the redemptive work that he accomplished on the cross, was accomplished precisely on the cross. It was finished on the cross. Even Christ says so. And so that once he had gotten onto the cross and was hanged there, he absorbed all the sin of all mankind into himself. And this is where we see that relationship that he has with his Father break apart. His relationship with his Father was torn and separated, so that he cries out, not Father, but my God, why have you forsaken me? It's at this moment that Christ has taken on the sins of the world and he suffers the separation from God the Father. You see, he had to suffer for our sins. And what was the punishment for the sins? The outcome of our sins was eternal separation from God and physical death. It was both spiritual and physical death that we die when sin comes into us. Jesus had to suffer both. Physical death alone was not enough. What do we call it when somebody dies in spirit? What do we call it when somebody is separated from God? What do we call that? Hell. Do you know that the ancient historical Christian church has always maintained that Christ suffers hell for you on the cross? That he suffered that separation for you? But there comes that point where he says, it is finished. It is finished. Where he, that, and you can think of it like this. Not that the mystery is much greater than what I'm going to, but just so that you can understand it. Jesus, in essence, suffers spiritual death first on the cross, being separated from God. But then he says, it is finished. It is finished. Meaning his that break has happened, and he has taken it on for all people. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Relationship restored, work done. And he dies a physical death on the cross. Interestingly, it says when he utters those last words, he said it in a loud voice. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How many of you have ever heard the last words of a dying person? Anybody? Now, raise your hands if any of you heard them holler those words in a loud voice. Probably not. I've witnessed a lot of last words. They're weak. They're breathless. This was victorious. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And the scriptures say that when the centurion who was looking on heard what he said and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Why? Because nobody dies like that. Nobody dies loudly and victoriously, especially after being hanged on a cross, whose body dies by asphyxiation. But our Lord was victorious on the cross. Having died for us. Why? So that we never have to. And death was immediately changed. And its power was broken for everyone who believes. The scriptures tell us that once we come to life through faith in Jesus Christ, we no longer have to worry about the second death. The second death has no power over us, meaning death and hell. The first death is the death of our bodies. And it has no power over us either. Because Jesus says that all those who believe in him live even though they die. Because when we die and we have faith in Christ Jesus, what happens? That new life that we have been given in him through faith, you know, that's constantly in struggle with our flesh, it continues to live on when the flesh dies. So what does that mean? It means victory for us over this fight we've been having our whole lives. Between saint and sinner, there's no more sinner. It's just saint. But this is not a natural thing. We're a nephesh, we're a living soul without a body. That's not a good thing. But it goes to be with the Lord until that time when he raises up a new body for us that is incapable of sin and where we live with him in the world to come. Body and spirit together made right. So you see the future that's in store for us as people of faith. But understand this, that as we live in this life, there is no reason to fear death. Alec Matier, who is an Old Testament scholar and commentator, said this about the results of Christ dying for us and what it means for us in our death. He said that for every Christian, you can rightly say that death does not happen to you, it happens for you. That death is for us because it sets us free from this life of sin that we struggle with every day. But I'm going to take this right back to confession and absolution and tell you, listen, people, you have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Your salvation is assured because of who he is and because of what he has done. Your life here is a life that we should live every day in this new life and this new spirit, but we fail to do it because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But at no point does a sin disqualify us from our salvation, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. I tell people, sin is not your problem, it's been dealt with. Faith, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe? Do you trust in him? And if you've got a regular sin problem, like I said, sin's not the problem. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. You got a faith problem, buddy. We got to look at that. You need to hear about Christ crucified. Why? so I can make a decision for Jesus? No, because the message of Christ crucified is the very power of God unto salvation. It is the seed that has the power to create faith in you. So you got to be where that message is. That's why we preach it. This is the life of the Christian. To live the life in the Spirit, to understand death, but not to fear it. Because to know that because of Jesus Christ, death does not happen to me, death happens for me. That I have nothing to fear in death. That Christ has set me free from the power of death. Because even though I die, I live. And on that great and glorious day, that resurrection day, he is going to reunite me with my body, which will be glorified and incapable of sin. And I will live with him and with you in the new world the way God originally intended it forever. This is his promise. People, this is what the Bible is all about. Recreating his beloved creation that had gone wrong. And it's time that we understand it. What the Bible is really teaching us about life and about death. Jesus has dealt with death so that you don't have to. Hear his word today and believe. Amen.